You know, we're excited tonight to have a guest who has been on the program several times, and we always look forward to September because it's a great month at the Annals of Improbable Research. We have Mark Abrams on the program tonight. He is the editor of the Annals of Improbable Research, and probably, which is a science humor magazine, and probably best known here as the founder of the Ig Nobel Awards, which just happened on September 12th. They were just awarded. Mark, welcome back to the Roadhouse.
Hi, it's nice to be back. Thank you.
Nice to have you aboard. As I mentioned, you know, Ann and I get email reminders, but September now sticks in our mind. You just finished with the 23rd annual event. Maybe you could tell folks in our audience a little about it.
Sure, it was the 23rd first annual Ig Nobel Prize ceremony.
Right.
We give 10 of these prizes every year, and they go for achievements that make people laugh and then think. That's it. Doesn't matter whether they're good or bad. It's that they're funny when you first hear about them, and then they stick in your head.
And they do stick in your head. I was just talking to Anne about some of the ones that I remember from over the years, and it looked like in this event, you were remembering one that happened in 1999, an award given out, and now created a kind of a mini opera as part of this year's ceremony.
Yeah, for a long time now, every year, in addition to handing out 10 new prizes, we do a few other things that we kind of tuck in between the introductions of the new winners. One of them is every year we write a little opera, funny opera, about something in science. This year we wrote it about an invention, a patent, that we gave a prize to back in 1999. The patent was granted way back when, in 1965, to a married couple named George and Charlotte Blonsky. George and Charlotte Blonsky invented a machine that they call an apparatus to assist women in giving birth by using centrifugal force. This invention is a large round table. When the woman is ready to give birth, she lies down on the table on her back. They strap her to the table, and then the table is rotated at high speed, and the child comes flying out through centrifugal force. That's what we wrote the opera about.
And
so it was about how George and there was a George and Charlotte Blonsky, and it's about how they got the idea and how they got the patent. And then we added some fictional stuff to the end, and in the fictional part, they decided to have the first child that would be born that way. And the thrilling conclusion of the opera is the birth of this child on stage using that machine.
Oh, my gosh.
And it flew out. And we also have, you may remember, at the ceremony, we introduced the new Ig Nobel winners, who were a secret until that moment. They fly from around the world to the big ceremony, which is at Harvard University out here. And we get a bunch of real Nobel laureates who hand out the prizes. And those Nobel laureates also had a little starring role in this opera about the birthing device, right? At the very end, when the baby came flying out, we had four Nobel Prize winners standing there trying desperately to catch this flying baby.
That is nuts. That is, yeah, what an idea. And they actually got a patent for that.
Oh, yeah.
A long time ago.
Very easily. If you go on the web, if you go to our website, we've got links to it, improbable.com. The drawings in that patent are beautiful. It's worth anybody going on the internet for a minute or two to download that. It's absolutely stunning drawings. And the description, it's even more stunning and very detailed.
Yeah, I'm sure that you have some all-time favorites, and we'll get to that a little later, but maybe we could talk a little bit about some of the ones that won this year.
Sure.
I noticed one caught my eye right away because it had to do with a beverage that's close to many hearts, and that's beer, although it could be any alcoholic beverage, I guess.
True. The Psychology Prize, the Ig Nobel Psychology Prize this year went to a team that's partly based in Europe, in France and the Netherlands and Poland, and partly in the U.S., they did an experiment in which they discovered that people who think they're drunk also think that they're attractive.
More attractive.
Well, just attractive.
Attractive, okay.
More than other people.
I see.
But they stand out, that people are attracted to them.
And how did they, what kind of an experiment led to that conclusion?
Well, they in part of the experiment, and the most interesting part of it, they gave some people glasses which did not have alcohol in it, but it had flavoring, so it tasted like beer. And I think it was beer, some sort of alcoholic drink. And they also had sprayed onto the rim of the glass just a little tiny bit of the actual beverage. So if you put your tongue to it and you smelled it, you would get the illusion that you were drinking the actual alcohol, even though you were just drinking really water. It was colored and flavored. And the people who drank the fake alcohol really did behave pretty much the way the people who drank the real alcohol did. They were finding other people in the room suddenly more attractive, and they were finding themselves more attractive to other people, at least in their minds.
I kind of like that one.
Yeah, it's sort of sweetness and other things too, but there is a sweetness to that one.
As in many of these that I read about, I'm not so sure we needed research to discover that.
Well, it's true of almost anything. You know, once somebody discovers something, it seems obvious.
Yeah, there you are. I don't know how long, you know, we've been hearing about different things like, can you hear one hand clapping, all those kinds of things that just don't happen. But in this case, it did happen to another Nobel Prize winner. Didn't happen to them, but it happened as part of their research. Yes, we better keep that separate.
Yeah, the Ig Nobel Peace Prize this year. And remember, some people consider the Peace Prize to be the most prestigious of the Ig Nobel Prizes. This year, the Peace Prize was awarded to Alexander Lukashenko, who's the president of the country of Belarus. He won because he made it illegal to applaud in public. And he shared the Peace Prize with the Belarus State Police because the State Police arrested a one-armed man for applauding.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Maybe you can,
Well, that's your opinion, sir. If you were in Belarus, you might not be allowed to have that opinion.
Especially if I had, if I was arrested, it wouldn't be quite so funny. It seems like a good time to talk maybe a little about how these research projects get nominated. How do you find out about them? Who decides which deserves a prize?
It's the Ig Nobel Board of Governors that makes the decision. That's a large group, the editors of my magazine, the Annals of Improbable Research, and a bunch of other people, many of them scientists, some teachers, some journalists who are around the world. We're always looking for things, but mostly we're getting nominations from other people. Anyone can send in a nomination. And we get usually in the order of about 9,000 or so new nominations every year.
Wow, that'll keep you busy just going through them.
Yeah, it does. And the ones that are not chosen, if they're strong candidates, we consider again the next year. And the world is a big place. There are about 7 billion people now, and a lot of them are doing very surprising things. It becomes more and more difficult every year for us to choose just 10 things.
I can well imagine. Does anybody ever turn down these awards once they're given?
Occasionally. In almost every case, when we choose somebody or we choose a team, we get in touch with them and we offer it to them very quietly and give them the chance to say no. And if they say no, that's the end and we never tell anybody. But most of the people who are offered a prize decide to accept it.
Mm-hmm. We were talking before we came on air with you about a couple of my favorites. Now, Anne didn't, my co-host didn't come up with what's her favorite, but we were kind of interested in a couple of what might be your favorites over the years.
Oh, there are so many. One of them was the year we gave a prize to the man who invented karaoke.
Oh.
He's from Japan, as you might guess, and he invented karaoke in, I think, about 1971. He was, at that point, the drummer and manager of a rock band, which he says is not a very good one, and they sort of accidentally booked themselves into playing two clubs at the same time in different cities. And in desperation, they talked one of these clubs into just taking a tape recording. And these are the kind of clubs where the audience liked to sing along with the band. And apparently that tape recording got a good response. So then from that, this guy got the idea of making machines that would do this. And it didn't catch on immediately, but other people heard about it, and then it really did. And we gave him, I think it was 10 years ago now, the Ig Nobel Peace Prize. The reason it was the Peace Prize was that by inventing karaoke, he invented an entirely new way for people to learn to tolerate each other.
I see. That was taking a very broad perspective on that one.
Yeah.
But it seemed to have worked.
It was a nice night. When he came, it was his first trip to North America, and he doesn't speak English, but he's the kind of musician who could communicate with people whether he spoke words or not. Everybody was really excited. They held it at Harvard in the biggest auditorium there. It fits 1,100 people, and it's jam-packed, and people were going nuts. And then as soon as he finished his little acceptance speech, as usual, we had a bunch of Nobel Prize winners there, and they walked up and put their arms around him, and they started singing a karaoke tribute to the man who invented karaoke.
Oh,
and the whole
great.
Audience stood up, and they were singing and weeping from joy. It was a truly beautiful and really strange moment.
That's something. When you started this all these years ago, I guess this is 23rd first anniversary, first
annual.
Did you have any idea how big this would get for you? You know, I hear about it in all sorts of different places. It's on National Public Radio Science Friday, I think, this year. You know, you find it on YouTube. You hear all these different events surrounding it.
Oh yeah, and if you go to many other countries,
it's around the world.
There that happen, yeah. I thought it might. You know, you start something and you always think it might grow big, but you never know. And we got very lucky, and there have been an awful lot of people involved who liked it and spread the word. And somehow it just keeps on growing.
And you have an archive. I think you've archived just about every one of them. If people go to your website, which maybe you can tell folks how to get there.
Yeah, at improbable.com, you can see all the winners and links to a lot of their websites and their work. And we have video of many of the ceremonies, including this most recent one. You can see these people. If you come to the ceremony, it's really the real power of this thing is when it sinks in, and you almost have to keep reminding yourself that all of these people up there on the stage, these are real people, and they really did these things. This is not an actor or a comedian or something telling you a joke. This is really the guy who invented karaoke, or this is really one of the scientists who did the scientific report called An Analysis of the Forces Required to Drag Sheep Across Various Surfaces. this year one of the prizes went to some scientists in Europe. One of them came over from Scotland to accept the prize, and as he was talking, you had to admit to yourself that this man up there talking to you just a few feet away from you really is one of the scientists who discovered two related things. He discovered that first, that the longer a cow has been lying down, the more likely that cow will soon stand up. And he and his team also discovered that once a cow stands up, you cannot easily predict how soon that cow will lie down again.
Yeah, well, that's good.
So if you ever come to the ceremony, or if you even watch the video of it, that's the real magic to this thing. It's not anybody just making things up. These things, they're real.
They are real, yeah. And they're excited about what they've been doing.
Yeah, and in a lot of cases, the cow one is a good example. Until we called them up, they didn't at all, it just did not occur to them that other people would find their work to be funny. It's just the work they do every day.
Yeah, yeah. So people can find these things out in your improbable.com website. Mm-hmm. Is that the same one for the Annals of Improbable Research?
Yep, the magazine's there too, and we've just started publishing the magazine not only on paper, but also as a little inexpensive ebook. So anybody who reads ebooks on a Kindle or your computer or your phone or anything else, you can go there and you can even download a free issue and try it out.
And maybe even watch a little of that mini premiere of the Blonsky device.
Yeah, the video of this year's ceremony, which happened just a week ago, includes, you'll see almost all the winners there, almost all of them came to the ceremony, and you'll see the whole opera, the Blonsky device opera. And of course also the ceremony every year. Another thing you'll see on the video this year is the win a date with a Nobel laureate contest. Every year, one of the 1,100 people who has a ticket and comes to the ceremony, one of them is the lucky winner of the Win a Date with a Nobel Laureate contest.
Many reasons to attend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably many reasons to stay away, too, but a lot of reasons
that.
To attend.
We've been speaking with Mark Abrams, and he is the editor of the Annals of Improbable Research. He's also the founder of the Ig Nobel Awards, which happen every September. It's just great talking to you, Mark. I want to thank you so much for coming on our program tonight, and we look forward to keeping track of what's going on at the Annals of Improbable Research.
Oh, thanks for inviting me again. And I should finish by saying the thing that I say at the end of every Ig Nobel Prize ceremony each year. If you didn't win an Ig Nobel Prize this year, and especially if you did, better luck next year.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.